You ready for some coffee, honey?
Absolutely.
I'll pour.
Great coffee. I'm Dr. Ron Martinelli.
And I'm Linda Martinelli.
And we are Talking
While Married.
So Dr. Ron and Linda and Desi on the road again in the RV, heading back to Texas after a whirlwind week of hard work in Southern California.
I wish it was a whirlwind week. It was a whirlwind 2 weeks, Ron.
My how time flies. I swear to God, you and me were putting in 14-hour days, and we worked completely through the weekends. And, you know, I just want to thank you so much because you really stepped forward and did a lot of amazing things this week. We've got our brand new forensic company that launched ETC Forensic, and we already have 5 law enforcement agencies signed up for that. Our response to active shooter class, you've got 2 major corporate clients for that. Girl, you're just bringing home the bacon.
I was working hard these 2 weeks, and you know what? It does take a toll on you, so it's kind of nice to be on the road where nobody can be calling every 5 minutes, and it gives us a little break, and I enjoy that.
And just to show you how much I appreciated all that work, I stole your Colombian coffee this evening. And I'm drinking it right now.
My one Colombian coffee pot is gone. So anyway, This is it. Tomorrow.
This is it, man.
The election is tomorrow.
And it's pretty darn exciting. It is literally down to the wire with a couple of these races. You know, Texas, of course, our lovely Republic of Texas being one of them, between longtime Senator Cruz and also this fraud of a Senate candidate, and he's a congressional, current sitting congressman,
Beto. What's O'Rourke.
Yeah. The phony Mexican Irishman.
Yeah. Well, you know, the thing is that I'm really surprised that Texas would even be a battle there.
Yeah.
But the reason is, Ron, that because of the conditions in especially California and also New York, so many people are moving out of those states and they are moving to Texas. So we get a lot of the liberals in Texas and they want to change the face of Texas and make it, you know, similar to where they came from that was destroyed by their politicians. So I don't understand that.
Well, you know what? I don't have a problem with people escaping oppressive states like California and New York and coming to Texas. But for God's sakes, don't bring your liberal politics to our state, which is a very stable state and probably one of the, if not the most rising states with regards to building and employment and technology moving into our state. Don't bring those liberal politics to Texas because, you know, it doesn't resonate with a lot of Texicans.
Right. Well, and the other race that's... And by the way, I'm going to give you a prediction. I predict Ted Cruz will win handily.
Me too. And he's done certainly a lot for the state of Texas, and he's done a lot for the United States of America. But I've got just one word for you that would allow someone with the horrible background of Beto O'Rourke to get this close to Senator Cruz, and that's money. And there's our dog who's barking at every car that drives by.
Well, Joe Manchin has a race on his hands as well, but it looks like Joe Manchin may pull it out, and the Republican just has not been able to catch up in that race.
Well, I feel really bad for the people in that state, and like you said, Lynn, you know, this is going down to the wire, and every hour the paradigm changes, it seems like. But, you know, the United States has got to make a decision, and I really agree with what former President Obama, who's of course on the campaign stump for other Democrats and other leading Democrats, and certainly President Trump has said as well, And that is, this could be the most important election for the future of the United States of America, because I, as I have said, and you and I have written on America Out Loud in our different columns, is that this, every single day, this is a fight for the soul and the values and the directions of the United States of America. There is no doubt about it.
Well, it is. And I think that 2016 still beats this one in a way, because we were able to get President Trump in and not Hillary. But this election is really interesting, because usually our midterm elections are rather sleepy affairs, and this one is not. There's a lot of energy in this one, and I'm pleased to see that there's been a lot of Republican energy. I was a little bit worried, not about a blue wave, but I was worried that the Democrats, because they have such vitriol for President Trump, would have much more energy in this midterm. But the things that happened with Justice Kavanaugh and the things that are happening on the border have really energized the conservatives to get out and make sure that they have their voices heard, as everybody should have their voices heard.
Well, you know, this typifies where we are in America right now, because I agree with you. I know in my lifetime, I have never seen a more energized midterm election, ever. Okay, and when we talk about these pressing issues about immigration, and we talk about how the economy has just exploded, and all of the positive things that has happened for large businesses and small businesses, which absolutely trickle down to middle-income America, and I can't think of a more clear voting direction. But then again, look at this. You know, you think you want the America, United States of America, to move forward, but it's staggering right now. You know, it's kind of like a boxer. The Republicans, President Trump, are taking punches, but we just keep moving forward. But you know, this is a referendum against a guy that's not even on the ballot, and that's President Trump.
Well, it is, and I guess it is, but. You know, if you look at the jobs numbers that just came out a couple of days ago, and we increased 250,000 jobs, the unemployment's at 3.7%. People are finding work. People are leaving their jobs for better pay. People are bettering their lives all over America. This is the best unemployment situation since, I think it's 1967.
That's correct.
This is quite amazing. And even though President Obama is taking credit for it, everybody knows that that's not true.
Well, he's a guy that lives in a bubble.
Yes. And one more thing is that, you know, considering that 90-some percent of what the media reports on President Trump is negative, we're really doing pretty well as conservatives to be where we are, because we have like everything against us in the country, except for the one thing we have going for us is solid, patriotic Americans who get it. They understand, you know, what they see. They understand the extra money in their pocket, and they aren't listening to the media.
You know what? Let me backtrack a little bit and talk about these unemployment numbers and then tie it into something that's happened currently and has been happening for the last couple of decades. And that is unemployment. Mm-hmm. Okay, these numbers are the lowest, like you said, that we've seen since 1967. But when we talk to other business owners, and you're typical of a business owner, you can't find qualified candidates to fill the jobs that you have open, just like corporations. And so I'm very worried about this, because when you take a look at the caravan and where this horrible direction we've been going in, and immigration, letting anybody and everybody in, we have a problem that is going to occur for the next 50 to maybe 100 years in this country. And let me tell you what it is. We are bringing in, and if you go the Democratic route and the uber liberal open borders route, we are going in the direction of bringing hundreds if thousands, if not millions of people into this country that have no language skills, they have no education, and they have no marketable job skills, and not everybody that comes into this country can cut your lawn, or, you know, walk your dogs, or take care of your kids, or, you know, wash your car, or do these low service industry jobs. We need to have technically trained and proficient people in this country to move this country forward in the directions where our manufacturers need. Okay, that's what we need in this country.
Absolutely. We have to have a skilled workforce. And to your point, you know, what happens in a business, say, like mine, where under the Obama administration, we had a terrible time. Even though people were looking for jobs, Ron, the people who had jobs didn't want to leave them. Everybody was very insecure in that atmosphere. So people kind of hung out in their jobs. Then when this financial revolution happened under President Trump, people are willing to get out and find better jobs now. So if now I can, you know, find people from maybe other companies that are being underpaid, that are willing to look around for a job, and that's a good thing. Now, what will happen down the road from this, and everybody has to be aware of it, is that when we get a different administration in, say the taxes go up, the economy is going to tighten up again, maybe go into a recession.
Stock market's going to go way down.
And then people are kind of going to be, again, stuck where they are. And those people that that are unskilled are going to fall off the workforce first. So that's what's going to happen. So people need to know that they need to, you know, start bettering themselves in this time, get the education, get the job training, get the experience now, because you can't wait until it's too late or you are going to be out of a job.
Boy, you know what? I couldn't agree with you more. This is the time to increase your education, to increase your job skills for exactly that reason. But I want to go back again to the growth of the United States. And that means, you know, President Trump is trying to open up manufacturing jobs. Okay, because what don't we want to do? We want to stop outsourcing. Okay, outsourcing all of our jobs. And, you know, when we outsource those jobs, we outsource them to third world countries, Indonesia, India, you know, Vietnam, the Philippines, you know, places like that, second and third world countries. We don't want to become a second or a third world nation. Now, we will never become a third world nation, but we can certainly become a second world nation.
Well, another race that's really in contention is Arizona, which I've really been watching Arizona. It's interesting to me because you have two women vying for this Senate seat there. And Martha McSally, of course, the
Middle Eastern conflict fighter pilot and war hero.
And then you have Kristen Sinema, who is, you know, the liberal candidate. So what happened in that race in the past few days is that Angela Green, the Green Party candidate, interesting that her name is Angela Green, and she's the Green Party candidate, she dropped out and pushed her support to Sinema. But then she's come out with comments that say, well, I really don't support Sinema because she doesn't represent what I believe in. Neither candidate represents what I believe in.
But don't you think that there's a lot of pressure from the Democratic Party behind, you know, in the smoke-filled room that's telling her to do something like that? Because I couldn't see a more stark contrast in candidates between McSally and her opponent.
No, I agree. But, you know, the polls are kind of crazy on this. Some polls have these two even. Some polls have Sinema up a little bit. Some polls have McSally up by 6 or 7. So we really don't know where this is at. But this is one that I'm really, really interested in. If the people of Arizona, in my opinion, vote for Sinema, I just won't get it, because you have somebody with just such credentials to have this senatorial job in McSally that I just couldn't figure out.
But you know what, Linda? There's a couple of things going on in Arizona from the way I look at it. A lot of people that have escaped California have moved to Arizona. Okay, that's where they've gone. They've moved to Arizona.
That's true.
And of course, they've taken their liberal politics and moved to Arizona. Now, we have quite a few friends that have moved to Arizona, but they all are conservative. But once they're inside Arizona and they've lived there for a while, they tell us that the politics is moving not towards the red, but towards the blue. And what worries me about Arizona is that it's a border state.
Well, I was just going to say that, you know, I don't understand the politics moving to blue in any border state, because we've lived in border states our entire lives, both in California and Texas. And you see the results of people coming over the border. And, you know, one thing I want to say, that President Obama really made me a bit angry the other day in his speech. And he's saying, you know, that oh, what are we all fussing about? These, you know, what are 4,000 people going to do coming into the United States? I'm sorry, President Obama, it's not 4,000 people. We are having 1,000 people a day cross over the border. Well, Ron, 1,000 a day is 30,000 a month is 360,000 a year. That is not a drop in the bucket. And that's year after year after year.
Well, you know, last night when we were driving together, you mentioned that to me, and that really put that in perspective. That is a simple way that the American people can understand exactly what this invasion is all about. And it is exactly what President Obama doesn't want people to focus on. He wants to minimize this problem. That's why he says only 4,000 people. But your assessment is far more important to grasp.
Well, right. And this is just year after year. And by the way, right now there's not one caravan, but three caravans coming through Mexico. So it's not 4,000 people. So the truth is not being told. And I get very frustrated when I listen to him speak and say that the Republicans are lying. I'm sorry, Mr. President, you are the one that is lying.
And, you know, this is an invasion that has been economically supported by Honduras and by Cuba and by Venezuela. And what is telling in these groups that form this caravan of how many people outside of Central America are in this caravan? I mean, it's incredible. What the heck are Afghanis and Somalis and Indonesians doing in Central America? You know, what are they doing
there?
Well,
they're coming to come up over our border.
Of course.
I mean, let's not be naive about it. And you and I were listening to a Mexican citizen talking about this, and he was saying that he was coming up to ask for pardon
for an attempted murder arrest and conviction that he had.
Right. So, I mean, this is what we want in our country. I mean, let's get real about this.
Yeah, well, I don't think they want us to get real.
Let the silent voices be heard. It's the rallying call that started it all. AmericaOutloud.com. For a wide spectrum of programming from world and political news, societal and cultural stories, law enforcement, our military heroes, and much more. News blogs, informative podcasts, and entertaining videos. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health. Sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa. Award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount or call 844-869-9958.
Well, there's been a lot of bad behavior in this election, as there always is, but probably more than usual. But some of these dirty tactics are really disturbing. So in North Dakota, where Heidi Heitkamp is the senator,
And she's a Democrat, right?
Yes. The North Dakota Democratic Party sent out a mailer discouraging hunters from voting at all in North Dakota, saying that they could lose their out-of-state hunting licenses if they do so.
Well, you know, that's so interesting because there was a lot of reasons why that ad is illegal. It doesn't show who paid for that ad, okay? But when you follow the money, it's the Democratic Party that's doing it. This is a desperate attempt. Now, this is also kind of an interesting marketing strategy or ploy because the people that are hunters, and, you know, obviously I'm one of them, they listen to keywords. You know, you're driving on the road and you listen to a commercial and you capture keywords, and the keywords are for that commercial is not out-of-state hunters.
Right.
The ones that have out-of-state hunting licenses is that if you have a hunting license in North Dakota and you go vote, you could lose your license. Okay, and for the people that are not well-informed, they're not capturing the total context of that commercial, that's a scary commercial, and it's to avoid people from voting.
Which,
that would be conservative people that are hunters that are voting, because she's behind in the polls, and this is a desperate attempt to, if they're not going to vote for me, let's just make sure they don't vote.
Right, but it's patently false anyway, because they wouldn't lose their hunting license in North Dakota or any other state either.
Of course not. Of course not.
Another thing that Heidi Heitkamp did is that she had put an ad out that named lots of women of victims of sexual abuse without their permission. So that didn't go over well.
And by the way, Lynn, I think that's mm-hmm. against the law, because there's confidentiality
sure.
issues. And, you know, as a former sexual assault investigators, when we write the police reports, their names are redacted. Okay, they don't even appear on the complaint. Okay, the only people that get the name are the prosecutors.
Yeah, and the other thing is that Heidi Heitkamp has coffers left of money from her anti-Kavanaugh campaign, and so she's just contributed $2.7 million of her campaign cash to the North Dakota Democratic Party to help with races in other states.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, they shouldn't even have these coffers that I don't even know how this works.
You know what? I totally agree. And, of course, I mean, we could do an entire conversation together about money and how money is spent and the lack of accountability and guidelines as to who gets money, how much money is spent, and where that money goes.
Well, here's another bad behavior. John Tester in Montana, who I'm really hoping gets defeated because of what he did to our VA candidate that had to drop out because of Tester's false allegations. Well, he's at it again, and he has sent out a mailer. Matt Rosendale wants to use drones and patrols to spy on private lives. And this is just something that they make up and they send out to people to influence their vote. And I don't think that this should be legal. Well, what happened was the Libertarian candidate dropped out and he put his whole voting block to go to the Republican because he didn't like the nasty tactics and the dishonest tactics of John Tester. And John Tester has done this more than once, so I'm hoping that he goes down in this election.
Well, you know what? Let me talk about the state of Montana a little bit, because, as you know, I had a pretty famous self-defense homicide case there. And, you know, not being from Montana, only gone there for fly fishing from time to time, my understanding was that it's a pretty conservative state. You know, it's agricultural, there's farmers, there's ranchers and things. I mean, cowboys are up in Montana. But what I found out, which was completely shocking to me, is that in every town, and I think there's four of them, every city where they have a university, that area is completely liberal. And because there are more population in those city areas, they capture the liberal vote. And that's how somebody like John Tester comes into a state like a conservative ranching and agricultural state like Montana and is able to thrive there. I will tell you what, I feel so bad for the people in and around the area of Missoula, Montana, where my case was based, because that is like the People's Republic of Berkeley over there. I was absolutely shocked at the kind of crap that they pull in that area because of that liberal voting bloc over
yeah,
there.
Yeah, I remember that. Well, Breckinridge, who was the libertarian in the race, you know, he said that, listen, everybody, I'm dropping out. I'm swinging my votes over to Rosendale. And the reason is that John Tester, with this kind of ethics, doesn't deserve to be in the race. And Rosendale is a guy who at least has ethics. Well, more desperation on the part of the Democrats, in this case, Senator Claire McCaskill in Missouri. She has sent a postcard out targeting Josh Hawley on his gun rights. Again, this is the same thing as in Montana, where there's no person or group that sponsored this, which is required by law, on the mailing. And it says that we just can't count on Josh Hawley to protect our gun rights. Now, the NRA totally disagrees with this, and this is false information. But again, this postcard is encouraging people to vote for the libertarians in order to try to draw enough votes away from Josh Hawley so he does not beat Claire McCaskill. At last count, this is another very tight race. So he was a little bit ahead, but within the margin of error. So we don't know what's going to happen in that race, but these tactics just should not be happening. I mean, I think all of America, Ron, wants fair fights.
Well, you know, one of the things, and I don't know anything about this area of politics with respect to the accountability, but you would think there would be some type of arbitrage, independent election committee that takes a look at complaints, like you would say, like an internal affairs complaint, and would investigate those and would sanction these candidates for doing this bad behavior. And I think if they were heavily fined, if they were sanctioned, or if there was a report that would come out before the election that pointed out all the election irregularities and all of the illegal campaign things and the bad behavior that these candidates are doing, I think that would be formidable. And it might sway elections towards the more the person that campaigns with the best values.
And you know what? It's quite easy to find out who sent these out. And I'll tell you why. I do a lot of mailing.
I knew you were going to get there.
In my business. And I have clients who mail things, and the post office looks at them so carefully, they will actually read the brochure that's being mailed, and they'll say, well, there's an advertisement in here, so they have to pay this extra cost. So the post office well knows the rules about election mailers.
I disagree with you.
No,
do you really think they know
no,
the rules?
I know that they know. Yes. Okay, they so absolutely
well,
know
let
the
me
rules.
Just ask you a question. Mm-hmm. Would they know the rule between something that would be truth or false or legal or illegal?
What's illegal, Ron, is that every campaign mailer has to have who paid for that mailer.
Oh, I get it. That's why it's on the bottom, right? Yes. There's a little, yes. What do you call that on the bottom? A tape or something on the bottom that says this was paid for,
yes.
Whatever. There has
and,
to be a notice.
And the post office well knows
that. I get that.
So in my opinion, they are complicit with this illegality because they shouldn't even be sending this out. This should be rejected back to the people who brought it to
okay,
them.
Okay, good point. Okay. I see what you're talking about.
Okay, so I want to say something about good behavior, which I really think is interesting. And by the way, you know, I mean, I read kind of voraciously, and I'm not picking out things that are one way or the other. This is what kind of comes to my eyes as I read different things and things that are interesting to me. But this caught my eye that there was a Trump supporter that apologized to CNN's Jim Acosta, which is not obviously any one of our favorite. I just think he's kind of a despicable media
yeah.
personality. But two Trump supporters wearing their MAGA hats went up and apologized to him because at some other event that they were at in the past, they flipped him off. They flipped off Jim Acosta. And they went up at this new event and they said, hey, I just want to apologize. We got caught up in the moment. That's not the appropriate way to behave. Now, that is class. And you'd never see
and they didn't have to do
Democrat
that.
Doing that. And I think Jim Acosta was kind of taken aback. But that's what you get. The conservative people just seem to have a kinder, gentler way of living than these kind of crazy people that have been out there this year with all the almost rioting and the violence that's happening. So,
okay, so you talked about a nice thing that happened. I want to talk to you about another weird thing that happened, though. Did you see that campaign ad with the naked women, the Democratic naked women that were, their slogan was, grab them by the...
ballot.
By the ballot, right. All right? But the picture of the women was that they were all naked.
With a ballot in front of their privates.
Okay. So... you know, if I was a marketing strategist for the Republican Party, I would go back over all these weird things that the Democrats are doing, and my theme of my 60-second commercial would be, do you want to go there? This is where they're going. Do you want to go there? And meaning that, is this the values that you want? Is this the direction that you want the United States of America to go in? Because you don't have to worry about just what people say, because, you know, politicians will say anything, but it's behavior. So look at what they do. And I would just have a 60-second commercial, because you couldn't be in more stark contrast. I don't think I've ever seen a Republican or a conservative commercial with a bunch of Republican or conservative women dressed up, well, not even dressed up, I mean, being all
dressed
naked.
Dressed down, undressed.
and putting themselves out there in the public.
I think I'm going to do that next election, Ron.
There's a scary thought.
I'm not sure how I'm going to take that, Ron. I thought this was really an interesting story. In Idaho, an elementary school group of teachers, there was, I think, six of them, got in some trouble for their Halloween costume.
Oh, really?
And their Halloween costume was that they were a border wall. And the picture is just so cute. And the border wall says, "Make America Great Again." And some of the teachers had some costumes on. One has a colorful hat, and one has a hat that says Mexican on it, a sombrero, and some have ponchos. Oh. And the teachers just, and they're holding an American flag. And the school is now investigating this incident that they call it. Okay, people, this is Halloween. This is a great costume. It's as cute as could be. They are all parts of a border wall.
I am looking at the picture, and it's funny as hell, because each person is holding a section that looks like a bricked wall.
Yeah.
Okay? And one of the people is dressed up as an American bald eagle.
Yeah. I mean, this
it's cute.
It was very cute. I mean, are we just this... I don't know, anal at this
sure
point.
And so they made a big deal out of it, because one person called in and said that this wasn't appropriate. Oh, come on, give me a break here.
Yeah, this is crazy. So, and the school says, well, this doesn't, you know, meet with our standards.
Well, standards is
this
that?
This is Halloween. This
okay.
is Halloween. So if you dress as a devil, that's okay. But if you dress as a piece of a wall, that's not?
No, I think it's what the wall represents, but the values of the school district are vague and ambiguous. Okay? So they're completely subjective standards and not objective ones, but you can see that the subjective standards are against a border wall. So
when you work for somebody, you don't own them.
That's exactly right. You know, Lynn, speaking about, you know, the border wall and, you know, this thing about the Halloween costumes and things like this, again, the direction of the United States. And President Trump, and I think rightly so, and I'm sure some people will disagree, but he has become a nationally minded president. And you can call him, and I think the definition of a nationalist is one that places their country first. And he has said that. That has been the theme since his campaign, America First, America First. But what has happened with this word nationalist, which is a good word, it's been co-opted by the Democrats and the liberals, and they're trying to associate that with being like the Nazi movement or, you know, this white supremacist, white extremist and right-leaning extremist movement. And that's not what nationalism is whatsoever. It is putting the United States of America first, and it angers me that they're trying to spin that.
Well, they are, and they have put the word white in front of it always. So every time you hear on the media, especially on the CNNs and the MSNBCs of the world, it is white nationalist, and that is not what President Trump is. You know, it is patently obvious, Ron, that President Trump is the president to all people. The Hispanics, the Blacks, the Asians, all of their unemployment rates are the lowest that they've ever been. He's not doing this for one group, one religion, one color, one anything. He's working for all of America, and we should be nationalistic because this is our country, and we should protect it first.
So let's look in stark contrast again to Barack Obama, the former president of the United States, that went around the world literally and made excuses for the United States of America and weakened this country with every single alliance and policy that he and his State Department generated during his term in office. You can look at the Iran deal, which was a travesty. You can look at NAFTA. You can look at every single relationship. And I believe that man hated the United States of America. And everything that came out of his mouth whenever he had an opportunity to discuss Americans was racist.
I do believe that as well. He was really against whites, and he was against Christians, and he was for everything besides those things.
And by the way, he never helped any of the people of color. A lot of BS,
you're right.
You know, a lot of righteous talk, but no walk, if you know what I mean. The people of color, the Blacks and Hispanics and Asians and American Indians, did not thrive under his administration. As a matter of fact, they got worse. More people on government subsidy, more people on food stamps, more people on welfare, more people in Section 8 housing, fewer people by far employed. And it has been, in just 2 years, a complete 180-degree turnaround under President Trump. So my question is, just what the heck is wrong about putting America first? I'm Dr. Ron Martinelli.
And I'm Linda Martinelli.
As former law enforcement officers, we know that your life and the lives of those you love and work with can change in an instant when you encounter an active shooter.
Unfortunately, in today's world of uncertainty, encountering an armed active shooter can have deadly consequences. That's why the key to survival is training and preparedness.
And that's why we want to invite our listeners to seriously consider taking our Response to Active Shooter training course.
Violence can happen to you anytime and anywhere, and when you least expect it. Having a response and survival plan and engaging it can be the difference between life and death for you or a family member.
Our Response to Active Shooter courses are customized for the corporate, school, church, restaurant, and small business environment at a reasonable budget that fits your needs.
So don't put this life-saving training off because you don't think it will ever happen to you. We call those people victims.
Our Response to Active Shooter instructors are all nationally renowned tactical law enforcement experts who will guide you through the life-saving protocols you'll need to survive an active shooter event.
So be a victor, not a victim. Go to ResponseToActiveShooter.com to learn more today.
Remember, that's all one word, ResponseToActiveShooter.com, and be safe out there.
Tired of watching the same old sporting events? Well, kick it up a notch and get ready, America, for something you've never seen before. It's the new generation of Western superstars. Shorty Gorham's American freestyle bullfighting. Who will win? The acrobatic, tough-as-nails Western superstar or the meanest half-ton fighting bulls on earth? This is one of the most extreme sports you'll ever see in an arena. This is hand-to-horn combat on a level playing field. Go to ShortyGorhamAFB.com or find them on Facebook. It's bullfighting time.
So, Lynn, I know a lot of people are talking about it, but I want to talk about it too because it really bothers me, and that is the increasing progression of this caravan of immigrants from, I mean, I was going to say Central America, but that's no longer the case. It's from all over the place. You know, we was talking to you earlier this evening, you know, Afghanistan, Somalia, Indonesia, there's countries all over the globe. And for some reason, they managed to get to Central America and then come up through the southern Mexico border. And the Mexican government has been trying to dissuade these people from coming up through the United States. I know they've been working with the United States government to stop this, but these people are moving forward. And, you know, I wrote a fictional account called, you know, Invasion, that's on America Out Loud. And everything that I talked about in my fictional account is coming true. They're getting in trucks and buses and getting on a train, and they're funded by, you know, left-wing radical organizations in Honduras and a couple of other countries that are not friends with the United States. And they're coming up here by the thousands, and they're followed by two more caravans. This is just not going to stop.
No, and you know, that I think a lot of that is what this election is about, Ron. If we could have gotten kept the Senate and then also kept the House and gotten bigger numbers in the Senate, then we might have been able to get some things through. If the Republicans lose the House, and I'm not sure they're going to, but the numbers look like they're going to lose the House right now. If they do lose the House, then we're going to be in a quagmire again. And this whole immigration issue will never get fixed. And these people do affect our country in so many different ways. Are they all bad? Of course not. But there are enough of them that are, or enough of them that are not contributing, but instead taking from our society and our taxpayers, that it does have an impact. And here's a case that just happened in Oregon, where we have a guy who gets in trouble. He's illegal. ICE asks for a hold on this person, and because of their sanctuary, stay, and city policies,
out of Portland, which is Multnomah County,
right? They released the guy, and now he has stabbed his wife to death. This is the fault of the people in that county and that state that made these sanctuary cities. These people, if they are not in line and they're committing felonies in our country, they need to be deported, and we are just not doing it. That is what this election is about, in big part, is getting and keeping our country our country.
Well, you know, I've been doing work in the city of Portland in law enforcement litigation for quite some time, and very successfully, I might add. But I will tell you that the people in Portland are sick and tired of where that city's administration has gone with respect to supporting open borders, supporting Antifa, becoming a sanctuary city and a sanctuary county. And, I mean, enough is enough. I mean, you can't even walk downtown in Portland and go into, you know, one of their famous coffee shops like they have in Seattle without having to look over your back and see what's going on with regards to all the societal socio-criminal problems that they have in Portland and in that county, with homelessness and illegal immigration and rising crime, and taking the police department and basically handcuffing them to do the work that they need to do, and including not working with federal authorities. It's absolutely disgraceful, and there are consequences for this type of deliberate negligence. I'll tell you what, if I was a family of the murdered wife, I would file against the city of Portland on the death of my wife or my mother or my sister, and I'd like to see how the city of Portland would respond to something like that. I know that if I was, you know, asked to come in there and to expert for the city, there'd be nothing I could do to defend them. I'd say, you know what, pay the money, because the plaintiffs are right in this case.
Yeah, this fight, like I say, this election is a lot about this immigration issue. It's about a lot of issues as well. Some people say it's a referendum on President Trump. I'm not sure if it is or isn't, but I mean, I certainly do like the things that he's done, but I really want this wall built, and we need to find a way to get this wall built and stop these people from coming over. Because what's happening, when these people are coming up through Honduras, Mexico is actually letting them right over the border. What they take 50 at a time, but they let them come through.
Yeah, but let me...
They're not stopping them.
And you know, we both live in Mexico from time to time, and so we understand the Mexican people and culture, and we speak the language. But, you know, that all of that being said, I saw the videos where the members of the caravan breached the wall, although it's a crappy wall, but they breached the wall into Mexico. So to me, that should be a felony crime. And they should have been repelled by the Mexican military, not only the police, but the military. And, you know, they killed one of those officers. Okay, so one of those officers was hit with rocks and he was killed.
I wasn't aware of
that. Oh, yeah. And then they killed one of the illegal immigrants, because anybody now that comes into Mexico from Honduras or El Salvador or, you know, one of the other Central American countries, once you breach the wall, so to speak, and come into Mexico, you're no longer a migrant. You're an illegal immigrant. And this is the news media spinning this and calling this some sort of migrant movement. No, this is an illegal act. These people have occupied the country, the sovereign country of Mexico. They are coming through. The police have done some things and the military and the government to try to assuage them, try to repel them. It's all been unsuccessful. And now they're heading quicker and quicker to the United States of America, knowing, because of our crappy laws and all of our loopholes, that they're going to be able to breach our wall, so to speak, and get into this country to claim asylum. We have to do catch and release. They'll be held for 20 days in detention centers. They'll be released, and 98% of them are, you're never going to see them again. They're going to be in the United States and will never appear in court.
Well, that's true. And something that's being done to mitigate that, which I think that a lot of people don't know, is that ICE, and you know, Tom Heyman, who was the acting director of ICE.
I love that guy. That guy's fantastic.
Just respect him a lot. They are trying to work out with the Mexican government, and they're having some luck with this, in working out a third country kind of a deal. So they're trying to work out where there would be a place where these people filter into. They can't get across our border, so they put them, or even if they get across our border, they put them in this kind of an encampment, someplace that they're going to create, and they put them there, and that will be where they have to stay until they are processed by our system to say if they get amnesty or not. Right. And this way they're not in the United States. They're basically on the border of Mexico and they're still in Mexico. But I think that's a really creative and good solution. We cannot let them in to disappear into our country.
Well, you're right. And internationally, there are guidelines and there's rules and there's organizations that are set up for migrant refugees that are seeking asylum in other countries. Don't forget, we did this in Syria. We've done this in other countries in the Middle East. So that exists, but we need to make sure that that type of program is solid and applies to people coming into the United States. Now, I think we've done a couple of good things in the works, and Trump, this has all been generated by President Trump, is that they are making a law that says that if you come into the United States illegally, rather than applying for asylum at a border entry point, you will never be allowed into the United States of America. And then I think the big, huge thing, and of course this will take a couple of years to resolve itself through the courts, is changing the language of the 14th Amendment, bringing that before the United States Supreme Court, so that people that come into this country illegally that have babies, those babies are not United States citizens. And I argue with a lot of people legally as to what the current language says. I do not believe the way the language currently as written guarantees a constitutional right for an illegal alien to have a child in this country, and then that child is granted American citizenship. The way I look at it is actually quite simple. If you are in, and it's very similar with other laws on the books that have nothing to do with immigration whatsoever. If you commit a predicate crime, then anything that you do that falls after that predicate crime is also illegal.
Well, there is verbiage in there that I would agree with you on that take. And, you know, that I'm sure would be challenged in court a lot, but at least it would be something that starts a process. So, you know, this election is important. I hope that everybody goes out and votes by tomorrow, Election Day. I think I'm going to be glued to my TV and see what happens, because every single race is important.
Linda, so many times you and I have said that this election and the one that's going to come in 2020 and probably every single election after that, but this election is every single day a fight for the soul of the values and the rule of law of the United States of America and where we are going to go together as a future. Okay, as future people. And when people keep in mind that currently there are 140 Congress people, all of them Democrats, that refuse or have actually voted against the legislation to enact voter ID laws,
yes,
so that you cannot vote without valid identification, right?
Yes.
We are in trouble. Okay, because if you look at what's happened in California, if you look at what's happened in four other states, if you look at what they're, and you know, thank God the Republic of Texas, the governor said no way, and we have a confirmed voter ID. You and I already voted, so we know that. You know, they checked our ID religiously. It was a great experience compared to when we used to live in California. But that's how it begins, where illegal aliens get the right to vote in the United States, or they don't even have a right, they just go ahead and vote, and it turns America upside down, and we regress into chaos in a second world nation. I can't express to you how important it is that everybody get out there and vote, and let's see if we can get a red wave going out there.
Well, I want to comment on one more thing that President Trump did. So just today was the day that we put the additional sanctions, the strongest sanctions ever, on Iran. And Iran's Khamenei, he's just really upset about this because this affects their oil exporting and financial sections of Iran. And, you know, I think that this is going to have a big effect on them. And my hope, honestly, is that while President Trump is still president, that the people go back and
they rise up.
They rise up like they did during the Obama administration, where he just completely was
abandoned them. It was a missed opportunity.
Oh my gosh. And because I don't believe that that's where his heart was.
You know, the inflation rate of Iran is also pretty significant. So it's very hard for people to buy things in Iran right now. And when they do buy things, it's so expensive, you know, that it makes it very hard on the people. And, you know, that's not done to place a hardship on the people. It's done to place a hardship on the regime, the Khomeini regime, to change the way that they do business, not only internally, but externally with regard to the United States. There is no way that the United States of America and the United Nations, for that part, should do anything to assist a country that has consistently expressed using nuclear weapons to eradicate the Jewish people. That cannot take place.
No, and you know, really the point is that we want them to scrap their nuclear energy and ballistic missile programs. So because Obama's agreement did nothing to really accomplish that. So I'm hoping that the people do rise up. And you know, there's a lot of people that I know here in the U.S. that are of Iranian descent, and they say to me, why don't we go in there and help them? Because the people there, the people, the citizens of Iran, generally are good people, and they don't want this kind of regime. So but they have to take it in their own hands. But if they do, I'm hoping that we at least back them up.
So I want to switch it up. So en route to Texas, going to get there in another day. Then we're going to drop the Desi dog off, park the RV, jump on an airplane, and come over to Las Vegas, Nevada for the World Championships of Professional Bull Riding.
Yeehaw.
And I am so darn excited because we've got four of our top champion bulls that we're trying to get into the World Championships, and that is the undefeated Ringo Kid, never been ridden, and a former World Futurity Bucking Bull Champion. And we've got Switch Hitter, and Dirt Man Do, and Big Country. And I'm so excited with the partnership of, you know, Martinelli Bucking Bulls and Hal Payne Bucking Bulls. Jerry and Tracy and Aaron, who are great partners and bull trainers who we truly love. I am so excited to see our bulls perform and launch a few cowboys.
Yes. Yep. This is a fun time for us. This has been an event every year for 20 years, and for us to have four bulls here this year is just amazing. Last year we had one, and so this year we have four, and I am also excited. This is a really fun time for us. Lots of good people, lots of down-home, patriotic, American apple pie people there, and just a lot of fun.
And great competition.
Yes.
Okay, the Americans, the Brazilians, the Mexicans, the Canadians, the Australians. Mm-hmm. I think we got a couple of New Zealanders stuffed in there somewhere. And just tremendous bulls. And Lindy, you know, I look at our journey together. Okay, now we've been with PBR since the very beginning, but we've only become stock contractors in the last 7 years. And during the last 7 years, which is really a very short time for stock contractors, because most of our competition, other stock contractors have been in the business for 20, 30, even more years. And during that 7 years, we've managed to get a world champion futurity bucking bull. And now, From one bull, we had a couple really engaged, but now to bring four bulls to the PBR World Championships, I'm loving it and I'm so excited.
Well, I give all the credit to our trainers.
Oh, sure.
And the Halpains are not only wonderful people, but they're wonderful working with the animals, and love them to pieces. Look forward to seeing them, and let's go to bed.
I'm with you.